Making Contact receives almost all of our support from listeners like you. Please log on to radioproject.org to make a tax-deductible donation and support our work. Thanks and enjoy.
At the tip of Point Ashen, the grassy marshland dissolves into an open stretch of water. There's a marina here, where around 100 fishermen are standing in line. They all look the same in the yellow hard hats and vests BP requires for safety. It's already 100 degrees, but the workers are wearing long pants to help protect themselves from the oil they'll be pulling on board today. After assignments are handed out, they head back to their boats. Lulu Dardar is the only woman in the crowd.
At the end there, before they close this down, I was making like $300 to $400 a day. Yeah, it was just getting good. And the price was high up, that's why. I'm making more now.
Lulu has been crabbing around the bayous of Point Ashen since she was a teenager. Her 16 brothers and sisters and extended family still live in the nearby bayou communities. They fish too. Lulu has never had a lot of money, but what she does have is a working boat. Since the spill, a good boat is the key to a stable paycheck from BP. Albert Nakin is the chief of the Isle de Jean Charles Band of Biloxi Chinamachas. He says that in terms of hard cash, working for BP is like bringing in a good catch every time you go out.
You know, some say that they will make it's like $2,000 a day, which is good money, okay? This is shrimping, but then that's seasonal. You know, how many months do you go that you don't make that kind of money? So maybe 6 months out of the year you will do well, but then other months you won't do anything. So this for here, I think the boat gets $1,200 and the captain gets $360 and the deckhand gets $200. So actually one of the oystermen on the island has a big boat, which is the mother boat, told me his boat don't want to go oystering anymore. He wants to keep on doing what he's doing.
The spill happened right as shrimping season was starting, setting the stage for a dire economic situation. But Terry LaBouche has lived in the area his whole life and says the shrimpers were already getting underpaid for their catch.
If anything, this is going to help them. They're really making good money right now with BP. In some cases, more money than they would have made if they was fishing. So it's actually going to help them get a step ahead of themselves so that when they go back fishing, it's going to be like starting from ground zero again, where they, because some of the fishermen have been suffering from previous years.
The economic dependence on BP and other oil companies in the Gulf make organizing against the oil industry very difficult.
The challenge here clearly is that there's never been much space between the seafood industry, the commercial fishing industry, and the oil industry in coastal Louisiana.
Aaron Viles is campaign director with the Gulf Restoration Network. He'd like to see oil drilling stop in the Gulf of Mexico, at least for the time being.
And right now, the fact that BP has had this horrendous error, cut corners and got caught on it, means that even though we're watching the worst case scenario, close to the worst case scenario for oil and its impacts on our coast, people still don't really want to bash the industry in general. And they don't want to see the moratorium. And we, I think, are very comfortable saying the moratorium is a necessary and thoughtful first step to figure out what went wrong and why. People like to talk about how, look, we didn't stop flying planes when we had a crash. No, but we did stop the U.S. shuttle program when there was a major disaster, and we created a commission to investigate what went wrong and why and how to fix it. And I think really what we're talking about, when the margin of error is so narrow, really clearly, and when the impacts are so significant, we have got to get a handle on what's going on before we charge forward.
Robert Gorman is the head of Catholic Charities in Homotipido. He says there isn't even a base to begin organizing.
Fishermen are very independent, typically operate on their own. They have social networks, but certainly are loath very often to join a community organization.
Some bayou residents, like Clarice Frelou and R.J. Molinaire, understand the link between oil exploration and coastal erosion, not to mention pollution. Still, they say overshadowing those concerns is the idea that oil equals a paycheck.
We've always dealt with the oil and gas industry. You lived off the land, but when you couldn't continue to do that, you get yourself a job.
Well, do I look at it? We do need oil and gas. We have nothing against oil and gas. We need it. But when it's used in a proper way and it's disposed in a proper way, you know what I'm saying? So we have nothing against oil and gas. We need oil and gas. Everybody needs oil and gas. But right now, the oil and gas is really hurting. It's all over the Gulf Coast. But I don't know where to go with it with that. You know, it's a messed up situation.
Without an economic alternative, the area is reliant on the jobs and money generated by oil. But the environmental impacts of those industries are destroying the way of life they're theoretically preserving. Chief Nockin says the work cleaning up the oil spill may even take some locals out of the fishing industry for good. This isn't because their water is too polluted, but because they now have a new job skill.
It opens some eyes as far as training goes. I mean, they can go almost anywhere over the country or probably out of the country if they want to go and fight an oil spill. Because I think they happen pretty regularly. Somewhere, somehow, some way, they happen. So, I mean, these guys are skilled enough to go and do what they got to do now.
While debate is raging on Capitol Hill over what to do next, those at the scene of the disaster see little alternative but to side with the oil industry. Still, Rob Gorman from Catholic Charities says there may be an opening. He feels that by keeping some information secret, BP has lost the community's trust. This could be a possible starting point to organize against big oil, or at least get people questioning how the industry operates.
What folks are going to find is it's got to be us. You know, there's already been talk of citizen councils to monitor the health of the Gulf and the health of the wetlands, as they created in Alaska after the oil spill up there. If you want the answers, I think the answers are we have to organize ourselves.
Gorman says changing perceptions may be possible, especially when the stakes are so high. But it's not going to happen overnight, and there's no way to tell if another devastating spill will come first. For Making Contact, this is Julia Botero in Pointe-Aux-Chenes, Louisiana.